Word, thank you that we are saints, small s, and we're saints because of the shed blood of your Son for us. And he and she that's in Christ is a new creation. All of the old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. So we can celebrate that every day. Thank you, God, that you, through your precious Son and his shed blood, have made us saints. And so this morning, with open Bibles, may we have open hearts to receive what you have. Show us through your word what we need to hear this morning. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive your precious word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Going to bring you up to speed a little bit this morning, a little bit of an introduction as usual, just in case you weren't here last week or you're visiting. If you're visiting, welcome. Delighted to have you with us this morning. And so I have a little bit of an introduction to bring us up to where we are here this morning. Back in chapter 37, Joseph had a dream. And it wasn't pizza or tacos. It was from the Lord. God is the one that gives interpretations to dreams. And because Joseph was his father's favorite, and he didn't, you know, strive to become his father's favorite, because he was a godly young man, obedient to his father, God gave him favor and his father loved him, but because of that, how sad it is that his brothers were jealous of him and they hated him. How sad it is that, unfortunately, in families today, there's bitterness, division, even hatred among many. And so, the icing on the cake here this morning, if you would, was Joseph had this dream, and he told his brothers about it, and because his dream was that Joseph one day would reign over his brothers, they hated him to the point that they actually wanted to kill him. When Joseph told his father Jacob about that dream, Jacob rebuked him. But Jacob, his father, kept the matter in his mind because of the integrity of his son. He didn't take it lightly. He rebuked him, but yet he pondered these things in his mind. Later on, there came a time when the opportunity arose as his brothers saw him coming from afar off, that they plotted, they conspired on how they would kill him and how they would cast him into a pit. That's true today oftentimes with believers. Sometimes when we go through trials, tests, troubles, tribulations, life can be the pits. But as we've seen over the past few weeks in this incredible book, the Lord was with Joseph. Maybe you're in the pits this morning. I want to encourage you, the Lord is with you. He's going to see you all the way through. No matter what comes our way, trials, tests, troubles, tribulations, if you are a believer, the Lord is with you. And in that verse, the Lord was with Joseph, you can put your name. Isn't that wonderful? Because he promised never, how often is never? Never to leave you or forsake you even to the end of the age. So Joseph's brothers sat down to eat a meal while Joseph's in the pit. Can you imagine the hardness of their hearts? There is their brother in a pit and they're just breaking bread. They probably even prayed, gave thanks. And they looked up and all of a sudden there just happened to be a caravan of Midianites going by, heading down to Egypt. It was then that Judah, one of the brothers, spoke up and said, instead of killing him, let's just sell Joseph to the Midianites. And they did for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph down to Egypt, which was a pagan land filled with idolatry. Then the brothers took Joseph's tunic, which his father had given him because he loved him. A tunic of many colors. And what did they do? They slew a goat, put the blood on the tunic, took it to their father, and they flat out lied, saying that a wild animal had torn him to pieces. What did Jacob do? He tore his clothes, which for the Jews to this very day is a sign of mourning. And he put sackcloth and ashes on. And it says that Jacob mourned for many days. Then in Genesis 39 to 41, it focused on Joseph's experiences down in Egypt. And all the while we read, the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph. And that just happens to be Joseph's favorite verse in all the Bible. He was purchased by Potiphar, who oversaw the prison system. And he was a servant in Potiphar's house. And God even gave him favor working in Potiphar's house. That is, until Potiphar's wife started making goo-goo eyes at Joseph. She said, "Come lie with me." And she's not talking about not telling the truth. But he went to run and she grabbed his robe. Took off and she had his robe in her hand. And then she took the robe to her husband and accused Joseph of attempted rape. Joseph was sent to prison over a period of 13 years. Imagine that. And so last Sunday in chapters 40 and 41, after Joseph had interpreted the dreams of two men in prison, Pharaoh had then heard, after he had a dream, about Joseph, this Hebrew in prison that interpreted dreams, and it was from the Lord. This prisoner, this Hebrew prisoner, of course, was Joseph. And he immediately sent for Joseph, who interpreted his dream, and Joseph told Pharaoh that it was God who interpreted the dreams. You see the humility in this young man? He interpreted many dreams last week in those two chapters, like six of them. But yet he gave all the glory and credit to God. And that's a lesson for us today. When God uses you, we're instruments in the hands of God. Whenever he uses you, give him the glory. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. That's so important. And it was then that Pharaoh made Joseph second in command. Look at this guy. And he put him second riding his chariots through the town. Gave him his signet ring. Put him second in command. And then I'm thinking, as I mentioned last week, I wonder what the Potiphar's thought about this. The dream was that Egypt would have an abundance of produce for 7 years. But after the seven plentiful years, there would be 7 years of famine. This is the interpretation that Joseph gave Pharaoh. Joseph told Pharaoh to appoint someone. Notice he didn't point to himself. He said, appoint someone else to store 20% of the produce in the plentiful years for 7 years. In doing so, they would have plenty to get them through the 7 years of famine. Praise God. So what did Pharaoh do? He appointed someone, and it just happened to be Joseph. So here we are. After Joseph has been second in command in the land of Egypt, a total of more than 20 years now has passed, 13 in prison, 7 years of plentiful. And we have often read over these 20 years that the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph. But what happened to Joseph's dream, some may ask? It's been 20 years. We are guilty of the same thing at times. Lord, I prayed for this 2 minutes ago. Where are you? Or a day ago, or a week ago, or a month ago. It's been 20 years since God gave Joseph this dream. And I really believe that he gave him the interpretation as well. What happened to Joseph's dream? We're going to see that here this morning. The Lord, who was still with Joseph, will now bring Joseph's dream to pass. 20 years. Amazing, isn't it? But you know what? Not one time do we find him asking the Lord, "Where are you in my dream? Was this dream for real?" He never questioned it. He just kept focused on the Lord in the pit, in the prison, in the palace. And that's a lesson for you and I today. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Maybe you don't have dreams that are from the Lord. That's still possible today. But this guy here, my dreams are usually from pizza or tacos or whatever. weird dreams. I know they're not from the Lord. Not bad, but I wake up and go, what was that all about? You probably have never experienced that. But what we do have today to hold on to is even more incredible than a dream. We have the Holy Scriptures. We have a book that's filled with the promises of God. I mean, innumerable promises for you and I right here in this incredible book. We need to hold on to the promises of God. We also have prophecies in this book that God has given us. And guess what? Some of them are going to be filled very, very soon, like the rapture of the church. We are close. Pray for Israel. They're getting ready to rebuild the third temple. And the one that's going to have that third temple rebuilt is under tremendous fire right now. I'm not going to name names, but somebody in America said that Netanyahu's got to go. Sad. Very sad. And guess what? Our president backed him up. That Netanyahu's got to go. How sad. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on prophecy. Keep your eyes on Israel, because they are a sign of what's getting ready to happen in the world today. God always, how often is always, fulfills his prophecies. God always fulfills his promises. God always brings dreams to pass when they're from him. In the meantime, Scripture over this 20-year period makes no mention whatsoever of what has been happening in the lives of Jacob and his sons for 20 years now. And I don't know how many chapters, but what we do know is that Joseph's 10 older brothers have been living with guilt over the past 20 years. That's one thing about guilt. It's internal. It's invisible. It will erode your soul. So important to remember that today. There are inward sins and there are outward sins. The inward sins, envy, jealousy, strife, hatred, all those things will erode your soul. That's why so many people have stomach problems today and ulcers and everything else, heart attacks. And so I'm sure along with the guilt, they must have often wondered what happened to Joseph. Another interesting point before we get into God's word. Jacob was also a deceiver, and he had been guilty of deception and sin, and he's still paying for it. He thinks his son is dead. Or Jacob. Did I say Joseph or Jacob? Jacob. Okay. And so for Jacob, he too is dealing with the guilt and all. Jacob's family is now faced with hard times. Why? Because the famine that was prophesied by Joseph in Egypt is now all over the land, it says. Not just in Egypt, but throughout the land, including Canaan. And guess who just happened to live in Canaan? Jacob and his sons. Look at the last verse of chapter 41. So all the countries, verse 57, came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was severe in all the land. Verse 1, when Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, why do you look at one another? And he said, indeed, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy for us there, that we may live and not die. So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, lest some calamity befall him. You see, Joseph and Benjamin were born through Rachel, who was the love of Jacob's life, these two boys. She was barren for many years, and then God allowed her to give birth to two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. And the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the famine in the land of Canaan. For there was famine in the land of Canaan. And so meanwhile, back in Canaan, the scene now switches to Jacob, where there is also a famine. Somehow, it doesn't tell us how, but Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt. There was an abundance. Jacob says to his sons, why do you look at one another? I'm sure we've used terminology like that to our kids at times. What are you doing? Just standing here looking at one another. Get moving. He says, go down to Egypt and buy grain for us that we may live and not die. But they're just standing around, and they had an idea who was in Egypt, and I think that's why they stood there looking at each other. When he mentioned grain in Egypt, I'm sure that they all began to look at one another with big eyes. No doubt Joseph came to mind. Again, you see what guilt does? What shame does? What hatred does? What sin does? And they stood there looking at each other. And I'm sure that they were thinking about Joseph. Get going, Jacob was saying, that we may not starve to death. And they still had guilty consciences after 20 years. And for us as believers, there is no reason to have a guilty conscience. Because if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're to forgive. Peter said, how many times, Lord? Seven? And just like the sign says above the box back there, no, 70 times seven. And that doesn't mean that we keep count. Well, you're at 489 right now. No, that's not forgiveness. Following the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, if you forgive others, I will forgive you. If you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you. What right do we have to be forgiven for all of our sins, past, present, and future, and not forgive others? And the best way to get rid of hatred in your heart and envy and jealousy and strife and all that stuff is to forgive. And what that does, it takes the burden off of you and it puts it on them. It frees you up. And I think that's important, even in the day in which we live. So Jacob sends 10 of the 11 brothers, telling them to leave Benjamin behind with him, lest some calamity befall him. And so, Jacob thought that Joseph was dead, which he was told by his sons. They brought the tunic, the blood, all of that to him. And back in chapter 37, we saw that they lied to their father. And so off they go to Egypt, joining, it says, other caravans to buy grain. They had no idea what awaited them. I'm sure in the back of their minds they thought, well, there's a possibility. But after 20 years, being a slave, he'd probably be dead by now. But you know what? God now, 20 years later, is going to fulfill Joseph's dream. And it's about to be fulfilled right before our very eyes here this morning. Look at verse 6. Now Joseph was governor over the land. Don't you love this? And it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came. Does this sound familiar? And bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. That is a fulfillment of the dream that Joseph had. That they would bow down to him. It took 20 years, but lo and behold, God kept his promise. God fulfilled the dream. And Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them. And he pulled out a sword and cut their heads off. Is that what it says? No. But he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Why? Because he's testing them. Then he said to them, where do you come from? I'm not going to use a rough voice here this morning. And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. Okay. Notice. From the land of Canaan to buy food. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Look at this. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them, and said to them, "You're spies. We have come to see the nakedness of the land." And they said, "No, my lord." Look at that small L. "But your servants have come to buy food." Look at this. Like I always say, it's a good thing liars' pants don't catch on fire. There'd be 10 flaming bottoms right now. "We are all one man's sons. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies." But he said to them, "No, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land." And they said, "Your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And in fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more." I've got that underlined and highlighted. One is no more. They are talking to the one that they think is no more. "But Joseph said to them, 'It is as I spoke to you, saying, you are spies. In this manner you shall be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not leave this place until your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you and let him bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be tested to see whether there is any truth in you. Or else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies.' So he put them all together in prison for 3 days." So notice, back up to verse 6, Joseph is the governor. He was the one who gave permission to the foreigners to come in and to buy grain. And I have to wonder, Joseph, knowing his dream, did he maybe know and anticipate that his family would be among those who would show up? I kind of believe that that's the case. That's my own opinion. And I'm sure when the crowds were coming in, he was eagerly looking through the crowds for his brothers. What would he do? How would he respond when they showed up? Here's my first question for you this morning. How would you respond after 20 years of your life being wasted, being hated, and here they come, lying? What would you do? What would your response be? Verse 7, notice, Joseph saw his brothers, recognized them, and he acted as a stranger to them, spoke roughly to them. Lo and behold, he sees them, and he recognizes them. What a shock that must have been. They had not changed in appearance as much as he had. Why? Because he was royalty now, second in command. Looked like an Egyptian. And as we'll see in a moment, he was actually speaking to them through an interpreter. He was not speaking their language. The last time they saw him, he was 17 years old. Now he's 38. He's no longer dressed as a slave, but now as a king. As we saw, in fulfillment of Joseph's dream, for which they hated him, they all bowed down with their faces to the earth. The very reason they hated him and wanted to put him to death, they're actually fulfilling that dream right there at his feet. Can you imagine? He recognized them, had no idea, or they had no idea that it was Joseph. And he at this time does not make himself known. He's going to test them. "Are you spies?" "No, but your servants have come to buy food. We are honest men." Get the fire extinguisher out. "Your servants are 12 brothers. The youngest is with our father, but one is no more." One is no more? Uh-uh. He is right there. Joseph says, "You're spies," and he's now going to test them. "You're not going to leave this place until your brother comes." I wonder why he said that. That was the brother he loved, Benjamin. He wanted to see Benjamin. "Send them back and bring little Benny. One of you bring him back. The rest of you will be kept in prison to see if you're telling the truth, whether you're spies or not." So guess what he does? He puts them all in prison for 3 days. Verse 18. Then Joseph said to them, "The third day, do this and live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house, but you go and carry grain for the famine of your houses, and bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified, and you shall not die." And they did so. Then they said to one another, this is so great. Then they said to one another, "We are truly guilty concerning our brother," speaking of Joseph. "For we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, the distress has come upon us." Today we call that reaping what you sow. They knew it. They knew something was going on. They knew they were going to have to pay. You see what guilt does? It destroys and it distresses. And Reuben answered and said, saying, "Did I not speak to you, saying, do not sin against the boy? And you would not listen. Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us." But they did not know that Joseph understood them. See? For he spoke to them through an interpreter. Look what happens now. This is a mind blower. And he turned himself away from them and wept. Then he returned to them again and talked with them. And he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. Wow. Notice what he says back in verse 18. "Do this and live. For I fear God." And he was not talking about the idolatrous gods, small g, of Egypt. You notice there's a capital G there. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And one would think that this would be a clue as to who this governor was to them. Egyptians were idolaters. Egyptians had many gods. And Joseph now tells them to do this and live, "For I fear God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob." His response, his behavior towards them would be determined by God. If you are honest men, leave one brother here, take grain to your homes, bring back your youngest brother, your words will be verified and you will not die. Isn't it amazing? In verse 21, they're all convicted. In reference to their treatment of Joseph, we are all guilty. Today, people with guilt are trying to ease the pain or numb the pain in many, many different ways. Therapy, psychologists, alcohol, drugs. There's only one way to get rid of guilt and shame. What can wash away my sin? Nothing. Absolutely nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. I am so grateful. I thank God every day and every night when I put my head on the pillow that all of my sins are gone. And I'm sure you feel the same way. Deepest part of the sea, he remembers them no more. That blows my mind. God remembers our sin no more when it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. So where do these thoughts of my past come from? Well, guess who? The accuser of the brethren, Satan, puts those thoughts in our minds. As I said many times, when he reminds me of my past, I remind him of his future. Global warming is coming. In God's time, not Al Gore's. Moving right along. By this time, they're convicted. Yeah, we're guilty. We saw his soul in anguish. That's why this distress has come upon us. And Reuben says, "I told you guys." Interesting, we found two Mexican guys in the Bible, Reuben and Perez. Just kidding. "Told you guys, but you wouldn't listen. Now his blood is required of us." They're now convinced that their own blood would be required as the payment. Not knowing that Joseph, as he stood there listening, understood everything that they were saying. This had to lift up his heart, right? Because he heard them with guilt, confessing their sin. Everything they were saying, Joseph heard. All this time, he had been speaking through an interpreter, and he understood their language. Verse 24, notice, and he turned himself away from them and wept. Then he returned to them again and talked with them, and he took Simeon from them and bound them before their eyes. Wow. Weeping is good, isn't it? Weeping cleanses our soul. Instead of whipping them, he wept over them. And we can see the integrity in this man. We can see his heart. He forgave. He didn't hold on to this for 20 years. He kept giving it to the Lord. That's important for you and I today. Is there anything that you're holding on to this morning that's making you bitter and angry towards somebody and hating someone? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. They had come to repentance. Joseph is so overcome by his emotions, he had to exit. And he wept. Even after 20 years, can you imagine what was built up in his heart after 20 years? And he wept. I've shared with you before, one of the most wonderful things I've ever experienced as a Christian was when I went from hard-hearted, wicked Joe Coleman to a believer. And the day that I got saved, I wept. And it was such a release. Such a release of all that was built up inside. God has given us emotions. You know what the shortest verse is in the whole New Testament? Jesus wept. And if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. He wept over Jerusalem. I believe he's still weeping over Jerusalem today. I believe he's weeping over America. Look what's going on. I believe he's weeping over this world. After all Joseph had been through, after they put him through, his heart was still tender. And it's up to us whether we have a hard heart or a tender heart. God has given you a new heart if you're a born-again Christian. He's taken out the rock, Ezekiel tells us, 36:24, I think it is. And he gave us a tender, soft heart with feelings and emotions. Joseph's heart was tender. He wept. What did he do all of these years? I believe he held on to God's dream, because I believe he knew the interpretation, and he held on to God. Today, we need to hold on to God's word, God's promises, God's prophecies, and we need to hold on to God like never before. Tin and I talk every day about the condition of the world. We are so grateful that we know the Lord. We have new hearts. We have a new home awaiting us in heaven one day, because the world is not the same as it was when we were kids growing up. It has radically, radically changed. Kids can't be kids anymore. And as Ryan shared about the petition on site, look at the filth that's being put into kids' minds in kindergarten today, where they don't know what gender they are. And now a law passed where they don't have to get parental permission to get their gender changed. That is right out of the pit of hell. And the last straw with any nation, I believe, is when you are messing with God's kids. I'll move on. Hold on to God's word. That's what keeps me sane these days. Because I look at what's going on around me, but yet fix your eyes on the Lord. He did not allow his heart to harden. Verse 25. Notice. Then Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks with grain, to restore every man's money to his sack, and to give them provisions for the journey. Thus he did for them. Look at this guy, this tender-hearted weeping man. And so they loaded their donkeys with the grain and departed from there. But as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey feed at the encampment, he saw his money, and there it was in the mouth of his sack. So he said to his brothers, my money has been restored. And there it is in my sack. Then their hearts failed them. They sank. And they were afraid, saying to one another, what is this that God has done to us? Testing continues, doesn't it? Joseph commands that their sacks be filled with grain and put their money in there. And he commands that their money that they paid for the grain with be put into the sacks. And off they go. This was a 250-mile journey, about 3 weeks. Along the way, it says one of them opened a sack to feed his donkey, and there was the money. Immediately, their hearts failed them. They sank. And again, as testimony that their hearts had changed, again, they're feeling that this was God's judgment. Oh, that's conviction. Praise God for conviction. Verse 29. Then they went to Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan, and told him all that had happened to them, saying, the man who was lord of the land spoke roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. But we said to him, we are honest men. We are not spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is no more. And the youngest is with our father this day in the land of Canaan. Then the man said, the lord of the country said to us, by this I will know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me. Take food for the famine of your households and be gone. And bring your youngest brother to me, so I shall know that you are not spies, but that you are honest men. I will grant your brother to you, and you may trade in the land. Whoa. And so when they arrived home, there was their dad waiting. And they tell him all that had taken place. Governor spoke roughly, took us for spies, told them we're not spies, we're 12 brothers, one's no more. The youngest is with our dad. Then he told us, leave one brother here, take food home, bring your youngest brother back, then I will know you're not spies, but you are honest men. Notice 35. Then it happened, as they emptied their sacks, that surprisingly each man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid, the brothers and the dad. And Jacob, their father, said to them, you have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Look at this poor guy. 20 years later, he's still grieving over Joseph. Simeon is now no more. He thinks because Simeon was left in his prison, he's done. And you want to take Benjamin? All these things are against me. Then Reuben spoke to his father, saying, kill my two sons if I do not bring him back to you. Put him in my hands, and I will bring him back to you. But he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he's left alone. If any calamity shall befall him along the way in which you go, then you would bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. The grave. Jacob's devastated. He's grieving, and now we have grief upon grief, to say the least. He accuses his sons now of being responsible for the loss of two sons, and Joseph and now Simeon. And now they all could be charged with robbery because they opened their sacks and the dough. Jacob would lose his entire family then. Everything is against me, he says. Here's the real truth of the matter. God is still in control. Even in the worst of circumstances, which we have here, the Lord was with Joseph, and I believe the Lord is in this situation here with these brothers. Then I remember back when Joseph told his father, Jacob, about his dream. You would think Jacob would be holding on to this dream, but no. For some reason, he had forgotten. Jacob rebuked him. He rebuked Joseph for what he told him about the dream, but it says he kept the matter in his mind. Had he forgotten? I believe so. Yeah. In all reality, God is actually working on their behalf for their good, and they can't even see it. God is working with Jacob and with the brothers, in spite of their being dishonest men. In all reality, God is always in control, always. God can never, ever, 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 ever be out of control. God's never out of control. But Jacob refuses, he says, to let Benjamin go. He believes Joseph is dead. If anything would happen to Benjamin, it would bring me down to my, bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. This guy's hurting. And there the matter stands for the time being. The best is yet to come. God is in control. God's working. God's going to fulfill the dream, isn't he? And I wish that every one of us, every moment of every day, could hold on to the fact that God is with us. He's with us. But there's so many things that come against us mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, that we have to deal with. And the best thing we can do is to put our name in where it says, the Lord was with Joseph. You can put your name right there, right now. God is in full control of everything. Today, we may not have dreams to hold on to, but I got news for you. We have God's word. Do you hold on to God's word? I do with all of my heart, and I'm not boasting. I don't go anywhere without this book. Even if it's not to go to a Bible study, whatever, this book is always with me wherever I go. It's always in my car. We may not have dreams, but we have God's word and God's promises and God's prophecies. And again, as I've said many times before, every single prophecy will be fulfilled 100%. As with Joseph, would you say God is faithful? Joseph knows that. God is faithful. As for you here this morning, you saints, God is faithful also. He loves you. Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. He died for you personally on that cross. He shed his blood for you. Today, you might be in the pit. You may not be in a prison, but you know how many people are held captive by things going on in their lives? Some people in prison are freer than those outside of prison because of the guilt, the shame, all the things that sin does to us. Maybe you're in the pits, the prison. You can even be in the palace and go through testing. Today, God is going to fulfill his word. Today, God is going to fulfill his promises. Today, God is going to fulfill his prophecies 100%. As we close, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, if you would like to give your life to Jesus Christ, if God has spoken to you through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'd like you to stand right now and receive the greatest gift you could ever, ever, ever receive. A personal relationship with the Lord, all of your sins completely forgiven, a new heart, new life, and a new home in heaven one day. And so if you would like to receive Christ, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close. How about rededication? Maybe there are some that have drifted, and maybe you're back, and you want to recommit your life to the Lord. I'd like you to stand right now. We want to pray for you. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Pray this prayer with me, all of you. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sin. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Renew a right spirit within me. Father, I recommit my life to you, and I thank you for receiving me back Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Okay, got one more song?
Yep.
We've had spiritual food. Now we're going to go get some carnal food. Donuts.